Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. 800 people are registered to receive help from the Salvation Army and other organizations for toys and food this Christmas. The Fair Share Food Bank is also seeing a rise in demand. The number of people using its services are up by 50% over last year. These are two of many organizations trying to help out those in need. On today's show, you will hear from both these organizations. First, Dick Colling, chair of the board for the Fair Share Food Bank, will describe the pressures it faces and the response to the increase in demand. You may also be surprised to learn that there are more young families with children that are accessing the food bank in Cobourg and Port Hope. As well, the number of seniors coming to get assistance is also up. He will give us the full picture, plus he will address key issues about the future of the organization and its sustainability in these tough times. I am absolutely delighted to have Dick Colling, chair of the board for the Fair Share Food Bank, with me today. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Robert, for allowing me some time on your program.
Last week, Feed Ontario, which is a group of hunger relief organizations in the province, released its annual hunger report for 2023. It stated that more than 800,000 adults and children accessed a food bank in Ontario between April 1st, 2022 and March 31st, 2023. That is nearly a 40% increase. As we enter this Christmas season, what are the numbers for Fair Share?
Well, thank you for drawing attention to that report, because it really is something that we see locally as well in our community. As the community may know, Fair Share is a member of Feed Ontario, so we support them in advocacy and communication, and provide them our numbers as part of their reporting on behalf of the province. So that really helps the organization present a total story. Each community being different has its own challenges. When we look at our numbers and our numbers, with all these numbers, it depends on when you start and finish the clock. But to keep it kind of simple for our local community, our numbers are up about 50% compared to same numbers last year. So we're running about 50% higher. So needless to say, we too are kind of dealing with the challenges of food insecurity in Northumberland County, and specifically in Cobourg and Port Hope, under where we provide most of our service.
Do you happen to have the actual number of people that are using the food bank at this time?
It varies, obviously, based on month to month. I would say that right now, we are serving approximately 1,700 what we would call unique individuals on a monthly basis.
And just for listeners who may not be familiar with the food bank, how often do you offer people an opportunity to access food?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question, and that is an area where it varies significantly across Canada. And it really is a function of the level of support that the community provides, and obviously the needs within the community. In general, I would say that food banks across Canada typically would serve their clients. We call them neighbors. They're our neighbors. They're in our backyard. They're in our community. Would be about once per month. That's typical across Canada. Over the last 2 years, during the pandemic, the organization's been very fortunate in being able to really not restrict that to that extent, and have basically supported the community coming on a weekly basis or on a two-week basis. So we really haven't put hard constraints on that, but that's typically what our neighbors come for support.
Has that changed recently? Because the last time I spoke with the Fair Share Food Bank, it was actually a couple times a week people could actually come to your facility and access access food. Has something changed?
No, separate when we are open to serve food to the neighbors versus how often they can come. We have definitely expanded our hours of operation. In Cobourg, for example, historically, we were just open on a Wednesday morning, a Wednesday evening, a Friday morning, but we expanded to offer support on a Saturday morning, as well as our ongoing delivery program on a Thursday. In Port Hope, we serve on a Wednesday morning and a Wednesday evening, as well as we do a delivery program on a Wednesday afternoon. So, but the reality is everyone's counted only once.
Now, that one time that they come every 2 weeks, how much food can they take away with them?
Well, it is a function of obviously what we have to offer and how much we are able to receive from donations and what we have access to through the Northumberland County run Food for All distribution warehouse and how much we spend obviously on based on donations to support the organizations. And so we typically try to provide 3 days, maybe 4 days worth of the primary staples of food, consisting of proteins, dairies, canned goods, and thing, you know, obviously what we'd like to think is a well-rounded menu, fruits and vegetables. It's a shopping model. It is not a hamper model. So we put foods on the shelves and our neighbors come in and escort it with volunteers. They get to shop based on a menu.
So just so I'm clear and so the audience is clear, what we're saying is that over a month, there are 6 days worth of food, not even a week's worth of food that people are getting from the Fair Share Food Bank. And the rest of the time, they have to find a way to feed themselves for the rest of the month.
Yeah, food banks are obviously an emergency food source, right? And we do our very best to provide as much emergency food as we can. Prior to the pandemic, if I can go back that far, it doesn't seem that far ago, the organization ran on a 2 week schedule, right? Neighbors could come in once every 2 weeks. During the pandemic, we had obviously a lot of support from government programs and things like that, which unfortunately are winding down. And we were able to offer more than once every 2 weeks. We were able to be open every week for the neighbors. So there was a period of time when there really was obviously an abundance of food that we could offer. But what we're seeing now, based on the increasing demand, the challenge is now, the challenges exist. Can we sustain that operation, right? Can we sustain that level of support? So it's kind of an ongoing challenge on how much we can realistically do based on the community's level of support. But we're certainly very thankful for the level of support we get from the community, because that determines really how much we can offer.
Have you noticed a difference in the level of community support, especially during the last year or so, when we've seen rising costs of living, higher inflation, people themselves are struggling? Has that impacted your ability to receive donations, either monetary or in terms of food? And that's been part of what you've just explained, a reason for your inability to offer food, more food, more regularly.
Yeah, what I will say coming into the community is that this community is a very generous community. I think not having volunteered with this organization prior and looking at what other food banks do within the province and about the country, I was amazed, you know, from my very first day as a volunteer on how well the community does support its local food bank. And I think that speaks to the community. You get what you invest in, right? What I would say from a level of support, during the pandemic, there were no food drives, right? There were no big fundraising initiatives beyond what maybe organizations and individuals would contribute on their own. Certainly over the last year, we have seen the level of donated food coming into the food bank to be about par with last year. So the donated food, be it at food drives, be it at grocery store drop-offs, on a poundage basis, you know, kind of how we measure food coming in, it's very similar. That is not really the challenge. That level of outreach is there. The challenge is in the dollars, right? The dollars lets us put more on the shelf. And there, yes, we have seen a decrease in donor support. Now, having said that, most food banks, most charities, and we're no exception, we see a lot of the financial outpouring near the end of the year, November and December, right? That's when the time for giving and thinking of charities comes to the forefront. And we all, let's face it, compete for that that messaging. And so we kind of look to November, December as hopefully determining how well we did this year and setting us up for hopeful continued success next year.
How much are you short by at the current time?
Well, we've set our budget at the beginning of the year, and we manage as best we can to our budget. But the reality is we're spending more than we had budgeted for food this year because of demand. And I guess to put it simply, we weigh all food coming in, both purchased and donated. And we have purchased about 100,000 pounds more worth of food this year than last year, 100,000 pounds. Well, that works out to about $350,000 worth of food. We have the ability to kind of put a dollar value on a pound of food as recommended by Food Banks Canada. So we have kind of a common yardstick. And so, yeah, that's kind of more than we had anticipated.
So am I understanding you correctly that you're looking to raise $350,000, or is there another number in there somewhere that indicates just how much you are in need?
Well, obviously, if we had that level of funding on an ongoing basis, we'd be able to sustain the level of support that we've been able to offer going forward. But we recognize that's a challenge, a challenge for the community, whether it be individuals or whether it be companies, because they're all kind of dealing with the challenges. But yeah, that's the challenge.
So if somebody came along and cut you a check for $350,000 by the end of Christmas,
I would sleep much better at night. I would. Yes. As primarily a volunteer organization, yes, we do have some staff. It is something that the board worries about, the staff worries about, and the volunteers who serve the neighbors think about. How sustainable is it? We were very fortunate, to be quite candid, to sustain an elevated level of support and service this past year because we had a single beneficiary donate a significant amount of funds that we really were able to not put in the bank, but put in food and put on the shelves. But that doesn't happen every year, right? And so looking forward next year, yes, if Christmas is generous and the community is generous, we would be surprised, but we recognize that that is not something you can plan on and guarantee.
So you're looking for a Christmas angel.
Yes, and maybe more than one angel, because we can look at the task of running a food bank on a monthly and a yearly basis, but really we want to think about this as a longer term, right? Do we have the reserves to run a couple of years out? The reality is most food banks don't have that long a runway to look at. They tend to look a year, maybe 18 months in advance. We'd really like to be able to look a little further in advance and have some flexibility built in. We know as we're putting our budget together that we're baking in an increase in demand. We would be naive not to assume that, given the state of the economy, concerns over maybe employment levels and things of that nature, and the growth within Northumberland. So we're baking into our cake, our budget cake, growth in demand and hopefully growth in donations and certainly a strategy of more fundraising next year.
Many people who turn to the food bank are not the kinds of people that we think. Now, the hunger report that we talked about earlier identifies a growing number of people who are working but do not have adequate employment or income earning opportunities that make it difficult to survive. Can you share some of the demographic information about the types of people who are coming in to use the food bank at the moment?
Well, it's an excellent question. I would say the most shocking number that we're seeing locally is a 120% increase in the number of new families with children seeking food support. That is, you know, obviously a tough reality, and one that really has everyone focused to say, what can we do to kind of support that growing demographic. Our demographic is also one that speaks heavily to seniors, to the point where this year we set up a special program to support our seniors with a special once a month delivery to those who may be challenged to even come to a food bank in terms of food support or have obviously their own challenges in reaching out for support. So I don't have a lot of the other demographics numbers in front of me, Rob. I wish I did, but the shocking number is really the number of new families. And we know those new families are working. Some of them are working. And we saw that need, especially on a Saturday morning. When we opened up the Saturday morning shift in Coburg, we saw those that were working that had a harder time coming during the week or during the evenings. And that just reinforced that the demographics is certainly changing. The demand is there. And obviously stretching out the hours needed to offer food and not have long lineups outside was another reason why we had to add the Saturday.
There are so many appeals at this time of year, and we've alluded to that in our conversation. Now, many other organizations are appealing for food for Christmas hampers or other drives. How are these coordinated so people can feel that they're going to sort it out and know where their donations are going to do the most good?
That's an excellent question, right? Because generosity comes in many forms and in many organizations. I can say that we can only really speak to what we hand out, right? And as part of being part of Feed Ontario, we have a process where we register the neighbors that we are serving and how frequently we are serving them. And so we have the transparency of the statistics of where our food goes. And obviously in an anonymized format, right? I mean, we don't share that information. The county who manages the distribution warehouse has access to the numbers that all of the agencies that are a member of Food for All. And so they can look across the county and look at some of the other 11 other food banks and food cupboards that are registered through the county. And what they hand out and who they hand it out to, again, to kind of gain that. But we know that there are organizations that are maybe outside of that network that may be getting involved in offering food support. I really can't comment on how that plays out.
Well, maybe you can help us a little bit more. And we see many efforts by local businesses, churches, individuals collecting food. So how can a person know where if the food is going to the Fair Share Food Bank? So if I go into a place, is there something that's going to indicate to me that this is for you guys and maybe not one of the other things that you alluded to?
Yeah, we'd like to think, and we are endeavoring to try and ensure our logo, our brand is visible through food drives and through drop-off hampers, right? I mean, that is one way where we're trying to partner with all the local communities to kind of help educate the community where it's going. You may see in some businesses, window stickers that we have made available to some of those that support us, where we thank them for supporting Fair Share. So that's another method. But if you're not sure, ask. We definitely know that some of the local church groups are partnering with us. We're encouraging them to put our logos out there. We're trying to have our volunteers go out there and put our logo out there. I have to say it's a very trusting community. And we see donations come in from church groups, from businesses that run their own food drives. They don't ask for permission. They just do it out of the goodness of their heart. And we keep a track of where all these dollars and foods come from. So we do have a donor list. And I know we are trying to improve our ability to kind of get our branding and our messaging out there. But that in itself, with more food drives than during the pandemic, is also a challenge. Christmas brings us all sorts of surprises.
Does the food bank do a Christmas hamper, that is a Christmas Day meal, or do you distribute any additional items or holiday items during this time of year?
It's an excellent question. We do, as part of the Christmas holidays, endeavor to do a special menu at Christmas time. Because we offer a shopping model, we try and put additional food on the shelf. So one of the kind of smaller fundraising initiatives that's on in the community that we encourage, we have some small local businesses involved in what we call our turkey drive, where for a $20 donation, we target those funds to add to the menu to do something special at Christmas. We try and do something special at Christmas, regardless of where those dollars come in. We try and provide the choice of a large chicken or a ham and things that just make it special. Our volunteers make a special effort to kind of see if we can hold back some of those cakes and cookies and those sweets that we want to all share in times of plenty. We don't really hand out a special hamper program, but when they shop, there is definitely something extra than the traditional menu.
Now, I know that the Salvation Army and other organizations are organizing toy and food drives. They're doing the kettle drive, all this kind of thing. Where does the food bank fit into those initiatives where people are registering and that kind of thing? Yep. Can you paint that picture for us?
Yes, the Salvation Army obviously runs a very great program, and Fair Share partners with them by helping them capture those that are in need and registering them as part of that program so they don't get lost, so they don't miss the opportunity. So yes, it is a Salvation Army-led program. Fair Share is proud and happy to be part of that program in registering those who come to our food bank who may not be aware that the Salvation Army is offering that that program.
What's next for the food bank?
What's next? I wish I could say that food banks will go away, but that's not a reality. I don't think anyone is naive enough to think that. What's next? We are trying to stay as focused as we can during our busiest time of the year, which is December. We see the outreach of the community in donations and food support, and our volunteers are doing and staff are doing the very best to offer as much as we can. Looking forward into 2024, we are looking at what the scale of the organization needs to be sustainable as it grows. We're trying in the process of putting our together for 2024. We recognize that part of that is we have to invest as we have in the past in not only ensuring we put as much as we can into food, but also investing in other aspects of the organization, right? Facilities, financing, tools and equipment, and staff. And to that end, we are investing in the organization. For its 35-year long history, it has mostly been run with volunteers, a volunteer organization and a volunteer board, a working board. But over the last couple of years, there has been some strategic investments in staffing to kind of harness the talent that the volunteers bring, but provide some continuity of services and support. And so one of the big things that we are doing next year is we're investing in staff. We just onboarded a new, filled a new position, an operations manager, a strategic investment. Someone will say, well, you're spending on staff instead of food. And it's a tough decision to make. It was a tough decision for our board to make. But we also know because the demand isn't getting less and the needs to support the organization doesn't rely strictly on volunteers, the sustainability of the organization is dependent upon staff. We are making a strategic investment. A strategic investment that's a tough one to make, but one that we also know, given the history of the community, its support, we're going to find the right balance, right, to ensure that it lives beyond the volunteers that are supporting it today, and that new volunteers that come know that there's an organization that knows what it needs to do. And so I think that's the big one. Budget, staffing, and the right level of support that we can offer, given what we hope to be is a generous holiday giving season. Volunteering on an organization, on a board, is not an easy task. Those that have done it in the past have done an awesome job. Those in the future will do a great job. I personally remain focused on a better future, a stronger organization that remains focused on its key message, its key mission. On behalf of all those that volunteer with Fair Share, and those that are volunteers and staff, we want to wish the entire community the best the holidays has to offer for everyone, and to wish a happy and healthy and food-filled new year. As we all remain focused on feeding our neighbors, we ask that you think of Northumberland Fair Share Food Bank or any other food bank in your local community at this time. Thank you, Rob, for allowing me some time to share what I think about and what I know the staff and the volunteers think about.
Dick Colling, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. That was Dick Colling, Chair of the Board for the Fair Share Food Bank. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.